Welcome back. This is Daily Buddhism Audio Show number 22. I'm Brian Schell, your host for the show. You can find the text for everything in this show and all past episodes on our website at www.dailybuddhism.com. If you have questions or comments, you can post them on the website's blog or email me directly at dailybuddhism@gmail.com. I did get one call on the dial-in voicemail line this week, but it was too late to include in this episode, so I guarantee we'll cover that one, and hopefully some additional ones, next time. Please call in with your questions or comments at 937-660-4949, or send in your emails as usual. Well, not much happened this week since I was out of electricity and the internet until late Wednesday. Blame Hurricane Ike. Everyone else does. This week's only really major announcement is that the companion website, taooftheday.com, is getting ready to start a new sequence of Tao starting with Chapter 1 early next week. So if you never really got into that or started into it later, now's a good time to get into it. We're starting again at Chapter 1 with a new translation. Just go to www.taooftheday.com, www.taoofthedaythedaydaycom, and sign up for the mailing list or subscribe to the podcast. Works out pretty much just like this one, only it's a daily thing, starting early next week. And now on with this week's Daily Buddhism audio show. And our first topic for today was my posting from Tuesday, I think. Managed to do this from a local coffee shop called Zen in the Dark. If you were wondering why there was no email or web posting on Monday, you can blame Hurricane Ike. Here in Dayton, Ohio, we had a once-in-a-lifetime windstorm that some were calling a dry hurricane. I'm one of 2 million Ohioans without electricity. Yes, in Ohio, 2,000 miles from the nearest ocean, we're cleaning up and recovering from wind damage. I haven't seen any TV news in a few days, but it must have been some storm. My home suffered from no serious damage, though, although many of my neighbors lost shingles, sidings, and whole trees falling on houses and cars. I was lucky. Losing the food in the fridge was the worst it got. But let me tell you something, though. As I worked in the cool, early autumn air, cleaning up the mess Monday morning, sticks and branches and yard debris of all kinds, it was immensely calming. I couldn't get on the internet, watch TV, do any kind of business work, or anything of the sort. It was just me and the mess in the yard, gathering small sticks, larger branches, and whole tree limbs, putting it all, one piece at a time, into the wood chipper, and then taking out the newly ground mulch over an old tree stump. Even making coffee on the grill was calming. Unlike the normal, noisy, gurgling drip coffee maker, a pan of hot water on the outdoor gas grill was completely silent. There's no background noise of the TV, no music, not even much traffic. The crickets are unusually loud today. I just wanted to clean up the yard debris today, but it turned out that I stumbled by accident upon one of the oldest and greatest forms of Zen wisdom. We all know that Zen monks sit a lot in meditation. They occasionally also do walking meditation. But they also do a lot of manual labor. They plant gardens, they build things, and so on. Not because they need the possessions, or hope to profit by them, but just for the sake of doing them. By doing some kind of work mindfully, they're gaining merit and building their inner awareness. This is working meditation. By doing work without distractions, they can focus completely on the job at hand, and that focus brings a peace and clarity that is especially rewarding. I'm writing this on my laptop late Monday night, using the last of the charge in my battery. I don't know when I'll get access to the internet and electricity to post this. The radio has been saying that some people in the area may not have power until next weekend. But don't worry, everything's fine here. I'll be back as soon as I can, and I suspect that I'll be much more focused because of the break. It gets dark when it gets dark, and it gets light when the sun comes up. There's just so much radio chatter I can take, so it's quiet here most of the time. No air conditioning means I can hear the crickets outside. There's an owl out there too, and this is the suburbs. I've learned something. Actually, I highly recommend this. Maybe we should all turn off some of the things that distract us from a mindful, simple life, and get focused. Okay, as I said, I wrote that Monday night and managed to post it for my coffee shop on Tuesday. When I finally did get my internet and electricity back on Wednesday, I had all kinds of great kind letters and well-wishing about that posting and the hurricane in general. Some of my neighbors still, today, as of Saturday morning when I record this podcast, still don't have power. So there are still plenty of people going without. And, of course, it must be 100 times worse way down south. Please direct your thoughts, and prayers if you do that, toward the hurricane victims. Also, don't hesitate to donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund, or help out in any which way you can. Okay, that was posted on Tuesday. Wednesday, there was no post for the very same reason. My electricity didn't come on until very late Wednesday night. So Thursday, we moved on to our koan for the week. The Happy Chinaman. Anyone walking about the many Chinatowns in America will observe statues of a stout fellow carrying a linen sack. Chinese merchants call him the Happy Chinaman, or Laughing Buddha. This Hote lived in the Tang Dynasty. He had no desire to call himself a Zen master or to gather many disciples about him. Instead, he walked the streets with a big sack into which he would put gifts of candy, fruit, or donuts. These he would give to children who gathered around him in play. He established a kindergarten of the streets. Whenever he met a Zen devotee, he would extend his hand and say, "Give me 1 penny." And if anyone asked him to return to a temple to teach others, again he would reply, "Give me 1 penny." Once he was about his play work, another Zen master happened along and inquired, "What is the significance of Zen?" Hote immediately plopped his sack down on the ground in silent answer. "Then," asked the other, "what is the actualization of Zen?" At once, the Happy Chinaman swung the sack over his shoulder and continued on his way. And then on Friday, as usual, we did our chapter of the Dhammapada. This week was Chapter 6, The Wise Man. Chapter 6, The Wise Man. If you see an intelligent man who tells you where true treasures are to be found, who shows what is to be avoided, and administers reproofs, follow that wise man. It will be better, not worse, for those who follow him. Let him admonish, let him teach, let him forbid what is improper. He will be beloved of the good, by the bad he will be hated. Do not have evildoers for friends. Do not have low people for friends. Have virtuous people for friends. Have for friends the best of men. He who drinks in the law lives happily with a serene mind. The sage rejoices always in the law, as preached by the elect. Well makers lead the water wherever they like. Fletchers bend the arrow. Carpenters bend a log of wood. Wise people fashion themselves. As a solid rock is not shaken by the wind, wise people falter not amidst blame and praise. Wise people, after they have listened to the laws, become serene, like a deep, smooth, and still lake. Good people walk on, whatever befall. The good do not prattle, longing for pleasure. Whether touched by happiness or sorrow, wise people never appear elated or depressed. If, whether for his own sake or for the sake of others, A man wishes neither for a son, nor for wealth, nor for lordship, and if he does not wish for his own success by unfair means, then he is good, wise, and virtuous. Few are there among men who arrive at the other shore, becoming arhats. The other people here run up and down the shore. But those who, when the law has been well preached to them, follow the law, will pass across the dominion of death, however difficult to overcome. A wise man should leave the dark state of ordinary life and follow the bright state of the bhikshu. After going from his home to a homeless state, he should, in his retirement, look for enjoyment where there seemed to be no enjoyment. Leaving all pleasures behind, and calling nothing his own, the wise man should purge himself from all the troubles of the mind. Those whose mind is well grounded in the seven elements of knowledge, who, without clinging to anything, rejoice in freedom from attachment, whose appetites have been conquered, and who are full of light, are free even in this world. And that's it for this week's episode of The Daily Buddhism. Like I said, it's a short one. If you aren't already subscribed to the podcast through iTunes, then don't forget to do that and you'll get every episode every week automatically. There's also the Daily Buddhism daily email list where everything happens first. Go to www.dailybuddhism and sign up for the daily mailing. So, see you next week.